Hello, I'm Jace Hawkins, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon is a production focused on the why of business, media, and marketing. It's made by my team at Neural, a digital agency for challenger brands and talent. To learn more, just visit neural.com. That's N-E-U-R-A-L-L-E.com.
All right, my guest this week, Jace Hawkins, co-host of Jace and Lauren on Kiss FM.
I've been invited back.
You're back. It's
we've obviously run out of guests, and we're now going round two.
No, you know what I'm trying to. This is what I'm trying to do. This is how much of a wanker I am. I am getting every guest that started to make the show in 2019-ish, and we've moved from our home.
Yep,
and we've got a proper studio. And I want to show
things
you.
Things are obviously doing well around here. We are in a much better place.
We want to show you how things have improved, basically.
It's great.
That's it.
Good for you guys. Well, you know, COVID hit. A lot of people went belly up. You guys have grown. This is awesome.
Well, here's the thing.
And apparently, podcasts are the thing to get into at the moment. Hey, at least you were doing this long before COVID.
Yeah, true, true. Here's the thing, though, is instead of buying a house, we bought an office.
Yeah, right. So you bought the office.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Well, because what was happening is we needed to move out. Anyway, we had been thinking about it. We had not been given notice to move out of our place, but we were thinking about moving to an office because we needed space. We found a place on Bridge Road.
Yep.
It's actually right down the road from ARN.
Would have been more convenient, but that's all right.
Yep. Yeah. We went in. The reno that was quoted to me was $100,000. Right?
Right.
In a commercial building, which we don't own.
Yep.
And I was like in my head, fuck that.
If you're going to invest in renovation.
I want to own it.
Yeah,
I want the equity. And so we started looking around, okay, what's in our price range? And it was very illuminating as to like what were the areas that people wanted and what were the areas that people didn't want. And St Kilda Road and parts of the CBD had basically been holed out due to COVID. And this part where you sort of meet Toorak, Queen and St Kilda, just back from it, like all the buildings are fucking empty. It's not just this building, it's the ones next door.
From COVID or just?
From COVID.
Yeah.
Because they're all small offices. People have gone, okay, I can pay, I don't know, 15, 20 grand a year, or I can just build out a nice home office.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you looked for the week and then screwed them on a price.
Yeah.
It's my boy.
Well, this was two, 3 years ago. This is valued at like $400,000.
Yeah.
We bought it for 217.
Ooh, thank you, COVID.
So, yeah, we had to get a loan for the reno to make it look nice.
If plan is like, if everything goes to shit, you're just going to sleep here?
Yeah, we'll just sleep in the room.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always funny. I'm like, oh, I've got all these grand concepts in my mind with the bank, and he's just like, just see how you go over this.
Yeah. They either go one way or the other. They do that or they're like, we'll lend you whatever you want.
You want
you'll
money.
You'll be fine. You'll pay it back.
Yeah.
They can't do it anymore. But remember when we were growing up and you'd get like an email from the bank and be like, hey, we're just going to up your credit card by $5,000.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, woohoo, because you're 22 and you're like, who cares? Debt. Yeah.
So they can still send you the letters, but you have to accept it.
Ah, right. Yeah, because the old days, they just up it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm paying off like my laptop on 86 months interest free down at Harvey Norman. Remember those? And you just chip away $4 a week. But if you miss that payment, oh, that'd sting you.
I don't know. I never really had that, mainly because with that sort of immigrant WOG background, the idea of credit was always like a big no-no.
All right, money back.
But this is
well, little boy from Brisbane, the only way I was getting the MacBook Pro was over 86
months.
Well,
but this is the thing is my only way of getting that was I had to just save up for it and deal with the shit hand-me-downs or whatever it was I could find. But it's only recently having that debt, like my internal anxiety is like, this is not right. This is not right. But then everyone's like, it's nothing. This is standard.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No, so, this is. And you know what? I don't know. I always sit there and go, real estate doesn't give me, like, I don't get nervous with real estate compared to like shares and stuff like that.
Do you?
I don't do shares and everything. I'm terrible with that. I've got to get better at investing money.
Okay.
Apparently Bitcoin's the way to go. Am I too late?
Probably not the best time.
Right. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay.
Right now. Yeah. That was very illuminating the last 2 weeks and basically had a market meltdown.
Yeah. Right.
But that's the entire, like, by the way, I got called up because of one of the clients we have. I do like PR contract work. And I was going to be on Neil Mitchell because I have been in the past because they sponsored Melbourne, and Neil was debating whether football clubs should be sponsored by crypto companies. And so he had like a real bone to pick with me, and we had this whole argument on air. And they were going to get me back in, but then they just decided not to run with it. But that week, I remember looking at the numbers, and the stock market was down just as much as crypto, which is really interesting.
Yeah, see, real estate's probably the area I'd play. We just bought a place on the Gold Coast at the end of last year, and it was while the borders were still shut. Like eventually down the track, we want to end up on the Gold Coast. And so we've been looking in Melbourne for like 3-4 years, and we just really hadn't found anything. And we're like, okay, well, we're happy to keep renting for a while. You know, we'll just buy on the Goldie. But the borders were still shut, and we were like, oh, fuck, prices have already gone up. We've either got to buy now over FaceTime or we wait for the borders to open, but prices are going to go up again. So we're FaceTiming with these real estate agents on the coast. Good old Pam running the real estate agent in Burley's obviously not used to doing things over an iPad. So my wife and I are at home. We've got the laptop open, and Pam's like trying to get onto Wi-Fi, and she's like, yeah, that. I'm about to show you around the house. And I'm looking at Lou and I'm like, this is how we're dropping our money. Like, what is this? And then Pam's trying to show us around and she couldn't get the landscape mode working. And we're trying to explain it to her. So we had to turn the laptop up on its side like it was a book. And we're watching. And I'm just like, this is what it's come to.
Yeah.
We're giving them all this money and this is how we're going to buy a house. And thank God it's not a dud. We bought it. And then we went up and checked it after the borders were open.
But you're not the only one who's done that. My in-laws did that. They sold their inherited family home down on the peninsula. They said, fuck this.
Yeah.
Had enough of Victoria. They still have a small unit that they live in for 6 months of the year. They're actually right now driving up to Port Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
They've moved to Port Douglas. So half the year in Port Douglas, half the year in Martha Cove.
Well, when we bought this place, we were like, okay, we'll put it up for rent. And I think we had 6 families apply from Melbourne. And one of the families was a family around the corner from us down our way. So like they were just relocating up there.
Yeah, I think the net migration in Victoria was -40,000.
Yeah, it's nuts.
People. Crazy.
You expect the prices to drop here a little bit, but they fucking haven't.
I know, they haven't.
They haven't.
So why the Goldie?
I'm a Brizzy boy. My wife's from Sydney. We loved Sydney in our 20s, no kids. You know, I just think to bring up a family in Sydney, you got to have bloody good coin.
Yeah.
Or you're out in the burbs with a lot of family support. You know what I mean? So Sydney just wasn't on our radar. Melbourne we love because it's a perfect mix of where we both grew up. But just the weather and everything. Like, we've got 3 young boys. You know, eventually I want them running around on the beach and stuff like that. Yeah. Get the energy out.
Gold Coast is, I think, as well, the fastest growing top 10 city in Australia.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, and we're down in Burleigh Head. So, you know, a little bit out, which is good.
Yeah, because you got that. My dad's had this whole thing as well. He reckons eventually he wants to retire and move to like the Tweed Shire area, not Byron or anything like that, but a bit further north.
Yeah. Like, we're looking like Palm Beach, Tweed. I said to my wife, what do you reckon, little 3 better above Time Zone or Cavill Avenue? And she's like, no, we're not schoolies.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, like around Burleigh, Palm Beach, Tweed. But, I mean, it's nuts around there now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Where does that idea of the Gold Coast fit into Jace's 10-year horizon?
To be honest, we've sort of parked it.
Okay.
Like, we were just like, let's buy there, rent it out, because we knew we could just rent it out, and then we just parked it. We haven't got like a, we have to be there in a few years. We have made the decision that we're only going to do one more move. Just with the kids now, I'm not going to, we've got an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-month-old.
Yeah.
So I don't want to cart them around for a job in Sydney and then back to Melbourne, and then, you know what I mean? One more move.
What's the radio scene like in
on the Goldie? If
the pause.
No. I love the Gold Coast. It's just one of the, it's, you know, it's not, obviously the pay and the money isn't there like it is in Sydney and Melbourne and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's why, like, you know, I'm not in a super rush to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and when I get there, I'll be totally stoked to live that lifestyle.
But I could see you having a, your semi-retirement being, the Jace Hawkins show.
Just on the Gold Coast. Oh, yeah. I'll have to die to get me out of that studio. But I'm a radio nerd. I grew up with it. You know, I wouldn't want to go there and just, you know, go work at 7-Eleven. I'd be totally stoked doing bloody job on the Goldie radio.
It's funny. I reckon you'd probably, eventually when this does happen, there's going to be in the years to come, there's going to be a movement of all the guys, like I'm thinking about Kyle and Jackie O, you, anyone who's dominated Breakfast and Drive for the last 10 years, going into just podcasts only.
Yeah.
As part of your way of winding down and that next generation coming through. But I reckon you're going to make more money.
Still got the creative outlet.
You got the creative outlet, but I also reckon you probably made more money.
I think eventually, yeah. Yeah, I think I've been having that discussion a lot with people lately, and, you know, there's a very small percentage of people in podcasting making the money that you'd make in commercial radio.
It's the top echelon that are doing it.
You know, but that's changing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not there yet.
Yeah, look, I know all this because I got all the insights because of the talent side of our business, and in the last year we went through that process of pitching shows. And ARN was part of it. Our mate Brett Sandler.
I love Brett.
Yeah.
Yep.
He
I worked with him.
Left
Perth.
ARN.
Yep.
Came back, and then within a couple of months came back, which I thought was fantastic. I'm just like, he's just like, I just missed radio.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. But he illuminated him and the creative producer team at ARN illuminated me in terms of like the numbers that some of these podcasters are doing.
Mm.
Like with iHeart and all that stuff that ARN's got.
Well, look at Tony Lodge, old Tony Roddy, who worked on our show.
Yeah.
Like her and Ryan John have started Tony and Ryan, and they were doing like a couple of mil.
Really?
You know, it was unbelievable.
Mm.
You know, and I'm so proud of her. Like, you know, I remember when she was leaving, and, you know, they all give me shit about it on the piss because I was always be like, guys, the minute you're leaving, if you want to leave, if there's a way I can help save you, but if you want to move on to the next thing, I'll be the first person to drive you to the airport for that next gig or drive you across the road. I hated knowing that the team was staying if they weren't happy. Mm. And she was just done. She just outgrew it, and she wanted to go and start her own podcast, and she's fucking killing it.
Yeah, she's absolutely killing it. Both of them are.
Yeah.
I think
I'll be ringing them for a loan soon.
there was definitely an interesting period. So we obviously, there was COVID, right? And I don't think I really got to say it to you guys, but there's no doubt that Jason PJ during COVID saved me mentally for a
Thanks,
good
mate.
Decent amount of time. Like it, every day, Lauren and I were like debating, like, have you listened? Oh, when's the fucking podcast out? Is it out yet? Is it 11 a.m.? Is it 12? When's it out? Have you heard this bit? Blah, blah, blah. And there was clearly a core group there, right? And then COVID ended. And this is the sad part of radio, and you've spoken about it before. This is when everyone starts spreading their wings. And the team goes their own way.
Oh, COVID definitely killed the old show, 100%. You know, just people reevaluated things. You know, back on your point about keeping you sane, it almost kept me sane as well. Paige and I would get so many DM messages from people around the world just going, hey, guys, like, life's shit at the moment, but fuck, the podcast gives me a laugh. And there would be days just like everyone else, like I would be at home depressed. Glass of rosé, okay, nothing else to do. Kids are crawling the walls. Like, and the last thing I would want to do is wake up tomorrow morning and go in and pretend everything's fucking great and do jokes. And, you know, it was hard. But the same token, by doing it, it helped me get through it too.
Yeah.
You know, I think if I didn't have that show during COVID, oh, man, it would have been hard.
Yeah, right. That's very interesting. Yeah.
It was just as much an outlet for us as anybody listening. And then over that time, like, probably right in the heart of COVID was the worst because you got PJ who, like, they weren't allowing anyone into the building. I would be allowed to go in and I could sit in the studio. Alex, our producer, would produce from the phone room where there'd normally be five people. It was just him.
Mm.
Sash was in the newsroom and we would meet through the glass on the intercom. That was it. The people answering the phones ended up moving home. So, like, little P moved back to Adelaide. So she's wearing the headset in her old kid's bedroom in Adelaide. Mum's making eggs. There's posters on the wall. And she's like, hello, good morning, Kiss Melbourne. What's your name? And she's taking the calls there. Franco, our video guy, moved in with his family in Wollongong. So he's editing the videos and controlling the cameras from Wollongong. Like, there was just no one. And then Peach wasn't allowed in. So she had to do the show from home in South Yarra.
Mm.
Because she was single, they had that stupid rule where you couldn't see other single people. You couldn't have a bubble. So she wasn't allowed to leave the house. She couldn't go home and see her family in New Zealand. She's doing the show from home. So she was just depressed. And when she could start coming back into the building, she was coming back in and during the songs, she was just crying because she missed her family.
Really?
Like we had days where, you know, we'd hit the ads and she was just in tears. And I remember giving her a cuddle one day and just going, Paige, it's not worth it. Like my biggest thing is I didn't want anyone to resent working on the show.
Mm.
I would rather she left on that high and what a run we had than if she stayed, got depressed, relationship fell apart, and then she ended up resenting that show.
Did you? When did you start to realize that this is probably the end of the show, as it was?
We wrapped up last August, like mid-year.
Yeah.
Was the end of the year before. So
okay.
It was end of 2020, her and I had the conversation. Really honest conversation. She was like, I think I want to call it. And we were still contracted. She was still contracted to be here. Like, she tore it up to leave.
Right.
And then and I said to her, can you stay on for a few months to give me a chance to find the right person, get traction, not just you leave and we're fucked and we have to, you know. And so she was great. She was like, yep.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was hard listening to. There's no doubt about that.
Just all the change.
Yeah, the change. It was
one day I walked into work and I'm like, I think we're gonna need name tags, guys. I'm the only person I recognize here.
Yeah, I went through the list and so Tonerotti.
Tonerotti.
Franco's gone.
Fucking Franco. He started this. Yeah. He left first. So Franco, who was our video guy, he went to Wollongong. Yeah. Him and his missus, because you know her family was in Sydney. He was commuting, seeing his partner. So again, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So Franco was out. Tonerotti went off to, you know, try, you know, spread her wings into her own podcast.
Sash gone to Gold.
Sash went to Gold, and then she ended up moving home to Sydney because she wanted to be near family. Right. So she's gone off to Sydney and hitting the vapes up there. and then, God, phone we lost DV and Davo. He went back to New Zealand.
Yeah.
There's been a few. And then the narc came in. We recently lost the narc. She did a couple of weeks in rehab, just needed some time. And then came back fresh, but then wanted to get into TV and try something different.
Who are we at now?
Veggie Boy wanted to move over to America and got the green card. He won the green card lottery.
Veggie Boy, I've been following on Instagram. He doesn't post nearly enough.
No, he doesn't really.
Nona's still there.
Nona's a great addition. Nona's perfect for morale.
Sam, what happened with Sam?
Sam just, you know what? He was just cooked. Yeah. I always say, I think people in commercial radio gigs in a producing team have about 2 years in them.
On the show, on any
just,
show?
Just on any show. After 2 years, like these guys work around, you know, I just left now. I got here at what, 11, 15? So, you know, we've been in a 2-hour production meeting after the show. So my mind is fucking cooked now. We've done the 3-hour show, straight into a 2-hour production meeting. I leave. Now the producers have to implement what we've all spoken about. So they're going to be there till what, 2? Wow. Then they go home. And then we'll all be on a group email from about 4, sharing stuff that might change. And then that will keep running through till about 8:30 tonight. Add in, you know, they've got to go to a couple of events and stuff like that. Like, it's fatigue. Yeah. After 2 years, you're just like, ready for change. Okay. What's funny, though, is Sam left and has taken a job at Carrie and Tommy over at SCA. Carrie's now gone to London for a couple of months, right? And I said to Sam, because of the time difference, I'll fucking laugh if they're recording it in breakfast hours. And you've left a breakfast show for a drive show.
Drive,
yeah.
Because
he's like, I'm going to get sleep-ins. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Depends what time they record that show.
By the way, why is that? Like with breakfast and drive, why do people, do you think it's the psychology of the time that you start? Because technically you do the same amount of hours, right? Yeah. So it's just the fact that the show starts earlier.
Oh, drive is the best. I did drive in New Zealand and it was great. Like you wake up. Also, it's, you know, with breakfast, because the show's on the next morning, the night before you're working. It's not like, oh, it's the night before. I watch Modern Family and I worry about work tomorrow. Work's coming up in 8 hours. And when you wake up tomorrow, it's not you're starting the day and you got 4 hours before the show. The show's on. Like anything big, we need to organize it tonight.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Where with drive, I remember I'd finish the drive show, go home at 7, and I could just be present at home then.
Yeah.
I could watch TV, pop a bottle of wine, have dinner, and go, we'll deal with tomorrow's drive show in the morning. Because then you have a clear mind at night, you sleep, you wake up and start prepping the drive show. The problem is with breakfast is that morning is your night.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the psychology of that fucks it.
It's like Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Hello, anxiety. I'm like, no one in the fucking house after 3 o'clock on a Sunday, and we're not out anywhere.
Here's a question for you that is interesting. Do you think breakfast talent get paid more than drive talent? Or do you think it's on at a market level, roughly the same?
I think now that a lot of drive shows are national, I think you'd find, you know, and also it depends on the caliber.
Like, okay, let's say Kyle and Jackie O, they did breakfast versus drive. Do you think there would be some form of markup if they
I think because breakfast they get more because they make, like, the station makes more money revenue-wise.
I actually don't know if they do breakfast or drive. Do they do drive?
They do brekkie in Sydney, Colin Jack.
Ah, okay.
And then they replay them because at night around the country.
Yeah. I always get confused because it's a Sydney show.
But Kyle just, he prefers breakfast hours.
Does he?
Yeah. He's always been like that. He's just, he's a nutbag.
So, okay, the team, we've got Nonna. I got a
Loudmouth Italian. Yep.
Loudmouth Italian. I got the message from Michaela, who you called Celeste.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing with radio? Like, you say someone's name wrong once and then it just sticks forever. I was like, who is this Michaela person messaging me? I don't know who Michaela is.
Neither did I. I was sending out group emails to the team and I'm like, I can't fucking find Celeste's number in this group email at all.
Man,
Kyle told me that though. Kyle was like, because when I started radio and they called me the lab rat, he was like, nicknames catch on to an audience so much quicker. And especially if you're building an ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And if you can find the right nickname, you know, Nonna, it just tells you. Italian, mum of the team, runs around cooking the meals, like, you know.
Well, they talk a lot about it in the advertising space, like mental availability. It's a lot easier to say Nonna than her full name.
Yep. Or the narc when we had Jane. She was just really quiet and sneaky at the start. And I'm like, you're a fucking narc. I reckon you work for HR.
Quantifies.
You're just, you know, but it was great because then it gave her the character that she would get away with stuff. Like, you know, oh, maybe I'm just building the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else we got at the moment? We've got Manchild.
We've got Manchild, who's a new EP. He looks like he's 14.
And
I want to take him to the foot because they've just made the next three rounds of the footy are free for kids under 14.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take him to a game next weekend just as my son and see if I can get him in for free. But he's like 25 with two kids.
Does he look like a man child because he's got like a beard or?
Child face. Completely baby face. But he's got two kids.
I remember when you guys were trying to come up with that name, I was like, oh, it's kind of like you've got to see him. You know what I mean?
Man child.
Man child, yeah.
Makes you want to see him though.
It does. DVD still around?
DVDs. DVD was our video guy after Franco. DVD started making so much more money doing video game YouTubes, Twisty 49 or whatever he is, either Twisty 6 or something.
So he did it full time.
So he's now moved into that full time, which is awesome because that's his dream. Like, the guy's now making more than what he made out of his wage at ARN to sit there in the corner of a screen and commentate himself literally like this playing video games. And because stoners are at home just watching this guy play video games, he's now making more money.
No, we know. We've got like four gamers on our roster.
It's unbelievable. It's
unreal. Yeah.
And then I'll be like, who the fuck is watching this? And then I'll go home and I'll go, kids, you want to come kick the footy? And Felix will be like, no, Dad, I'm watching Petri Dish 96 and he's playing soccer. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Roblox. Roblox.
The weekend, Roblox. Went down.
Have they asked you for Roblox dollars?
Oh, that's long gone. But there was a weekend where Roblox, whatever it is, Robux. It just went down.
And the value of it went down?
No. The app, the server, it all went down. Yeah. And it wasn't working on his laptop. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. On his iPad. And I logged online. It was like worldwide outage. This was on a Friday night. And my kids, they only allowed their iPads on the weekend.
Yeah.
On Saturday morning when that wasn't
good
back
policy,
up.
I like it.
Mate, it was like we killed the family pet. It was like, this is just, and then every 20 minutes, it's a backup. And I'm like, mate, no one wants it more up right now than me.
So they've never discovered like Minecraft or we don't let it play?
Yeah, but he was hooked on that at that point. And I'm trying to, you know.
That's an interesting, but I like this.
We sound like dealers. Sorry, man, I'm out of the white stuff, but have you tried smoking this? Just trying to move them over to something different.
Don't have any meth, but do you want coke?
Yeah. It's cheaper, man. Try it. You'll never go back to Robux.
So that's an interesting one. What's like your key principles as parents, you and Lou? Because I like the iPad thing only on weekends. It gives them restraint.
Yeah. And also, don't get me wrong, iPad's great because it gives us a little bit of freedom. We can lay in bed, watch some TV in the morning. Like, that's cool. But for our kids, you pay for it. If they're on an iPad for 2 hours, then they're just not themselves afterwards for an hour or so.
What do you mean by that?
Just they'll act up. They're more emotional. They'll be a bit more angry. So it's, you know, you pay for it. So we made the choice. We're like, okay, weekends only. And if you misbehave during the week, then you might lose gaming on Saturday or you lose YouTube.
Interesting.
In saying that, yeah, cool, we're killing it there, but then we're not doing family dinners around a table at night. It's terrible at the moment. You know, one of us might be putting Archie, the 4-month, down. One of the kids is sitting there watching TV, you know, watching The Simpsons, eat his dinner. The other one's at the coffee table. And Lou and I last night, so we've got to get structure back in. But then we're talking to a doctor recently, and they were like, just take the pressure off yourself. Like, yes, family time is great. And I had a really good upbringing. I remember we'd all sit down and have family time. But the doctor was like, if that's not working for you, that's fine. Everyone just eats separate. Try and find maybe at 6:30, all the TV screens are off and you guys all play a game of Uno. Yeah. And that's the family time. And that's what works for us. Like, there'll be some nights. So for my anniversary, we just clocked up 10-year anniversary, and Peter Nguyen, one of our potties.
Yeah, Peter Nguyen.
Peter, who's awesome. He did a Monopoly board, but based around the old show, all the characters and everything.
Yeah.
So Pete was awesome, and I worked with him for my 10-year anniversary, and we made a Lifeopoly board of Lou and my life.
Wow.
So all the things on the board are like the kids' schools, the locations of our first date, where Lou and I had our first job, and all the community chess cards are like, oh, you didn't get stung for parking in Double Bay today. Collect $200 from, or, you know, like, the suburbs we live in. Or Felix is late for school. Pay $50 fine. And so we sit down with the kids and we'll play that. And it's really cool because they'll be like, oh, I've landed on Baskin Robbins. And Lou will be like, oh, that was your dad's favorite ice cream shop. Like, we'd go there every weekend. And it's cool. And we're doing.
They're going to love that in 20 years from now. They're going to look back on that so fondly.
Well, you know what I want to do for Christmas? I want to get Guess Who Made, but replace all the characters with people we know in our life. And so
that's going to be interesting in 10 years down the track to see who's stuck around.
I don't recognize anybody on this board. But, and I was saying to Luke, the questions would have to be, it can't be like, oh, do you have blonde hair? It has to be like, have you ever hooked up with this person in your life? Yes. Well, okay, well, no, you didn't kiss my cousin. I've always wondered if something happened there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember as a kid, my parents got for me like a book made. Like, you know how you get those personalized books with your name and stuff like that? And just at like 7, 8 years of age, I was blown away by it.
Oh, it's awesome. The kids love it. Like, the other night, you know, it was 6 and I landed on his school. And he's like, oh, you can buy my school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was really cool. Peter Nguyen came through.
Is there any other like core principles that you and Lou have at all for bringing up the kids?
He's 8 and 6, so obviously,
like, when they muck around, away from drugs, muck up, knives, guns. What do you guys do when they muck up? They have to sit on their own.
Yeah, like I grew up in. I got 3 older sisters, mum and dad. Really good upbringing. I remember dad giving me a smack, bloody probably 4 times in my life.
Really?
Like I can faintly remember it,
but
it was never a big thing. Uh-huh. Lou grew up with a very different upbringing. So we sort of met halfway and, you know, obviously years ago we decided we're not going to smack our kids. Controversial. But then we're very careful of raising our voice and stuff like that because I know that's a trigger for Lou and Lou doesn't like that.
Yeah.
So I have to respect that. So it'll be more – we realize in the moment when the kids are acting up, that's not the moment to go, you're not having your iPad. You're not – because you know what? They're not even hearing it. This is just with our kids. You know, it'll be like, let's diffuse the situation. And then in an hour's time, we might be like, hey, you know how that happened before. Because of that, we're not going to be doing gaming on Saturday.
Interesting.
But trying to have that conversation at the time that they're blowing up, it's you're talking to a wall.
Yeah, because they can't emotionally process it.
Exactly. And all they're going to do is fire up even more.
Yeah.
Like last night, one of them was just being a nightmare going to bed. And could have been my fault because I ordered gelato on Uber Eats yesterday afternoon. And when mum was out, we had some. So the sugar could have gone to his head. But he was like flipping out and Lou's tired. And I'm like, okay, at this point, I just need to get him to sleep. I've still got a shitload of work to do. Lou's been up all night with the baby. I just need to diffuse this situation at the moment. So I'm not saying I let him talk to me like shit or anything. I'm just like, hard, all good. I'm going to walk away. You let me know when you've calmed down and you're ready to go to bed. And then this morning when he woke up, Lou's like, hey, you know how we had a fight last night? You won't be getting your iPad today. And he could arc up again then, but you're how better off getting
how
through.
How did he react?
I don't know. I was at work. Apparently it didn't go well.
Wow. It reminds me of when you were talking about watching that parenting show and they had like the real hardcore draconian stuff.
Oh, the Channel 9 one? Yeah.
Parental guidance.
We would all sit at home and judge other people's parenting.
Yeah.
Really. It's like when you're in a food court and you see some kid cracking, you're like, oh, fucking thank God that's not me.
I looked and I went like, this is like maths, but for everyone who's got like young kids.
Really surprised that show didn't blow up like it should have.
I was surprised too.
Because when I saw the trailers, I was like, this is, because as a parent, you do, you judge other people's parenting. And I don't know, maybe they just didn't execute it right, but the concept should have been rating its pants off.
Well, the two biggest TV watching groups or show watching groups are boomers and millennials. And so unsurprisingly, you have the two biggest shows often suit those demographics. And when it comes to reality TV, the biggest show is probably Maths.
Yeah, 100%.
But then you get like follow-throughs with maybe like a Big Brother or Love Island or something like that. So
there
was
weeks where Maths was rating better on catch-up than on the mainstream TV channel. Like it was pulling in over a mil.
Do you mean on
both.
The streaming?
Like the streaming, like people going back and watching it.
Yeah, I remember that. Because that's how we would watch it. Because we would miss the start time and then Lauren's like, oh, just let it play through and we'll watch it after and we'll just eat dinner and whatnot. Yeah, I think eventually once our generation all get to like 40, on our, like the average median age is like 40, I think shows like that will be fucking massive.
Yeah.
Like when you look at it like boomers.
It's
sort of
a fine balance though, because like I would say radio almost used to be like that, where it was scandal and stunt and pain and gotcha calls and stuff like that. And people just shy away from that now. People don't want nasty. And like Maths is like everyone's guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Where I feel like if other shows came out trying to do that, it wouldn't work. Like you look at Lego Masters Australia, totally feel good, rates its pants off. That Doghouse, everyone was like, what is this shit? Where we're going to have hidden cameras watch people try and reunite with a rescue dog and take them home. People are like, this is pants. And it rated its tits off.
I completely agree. I literally had this conversation this morning. We've got a creator on our roster. His name's Rustam. And his normal content is that classic sort of vox poppy, let's go down to Bourke Street Mall and be like, which type of girl do you find hot?
Yeah.
And they're like, rah, 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 rah. And he's like, ha, ha. It's just real basic. It gets the numbers. But then every month, because he's Muslim, he does like Ramadan giveaways, right? So the last month he's been basically just going up to people at Coles, be like, hey, happy Ramadan, and just paying for their stuff. And it's gone bonkers, like all over the media. Every year it happens. He gets asked onto Studio 10 or shows like that. You know,
because it's nice. It's
because it's good. Nice. Yeah. It's people like it. And it reminds me of things like Good News Movement, which is huge on Instagram. And I think you're right. I think people want more positive stuff. And I think
a lot of that's real. Because I've got a big problem with, you know, we go through this debate at the radio station all the time. It's like, all right, we're due for a feel good, do a rescue. And I'm like, Monica's dying of cancer. We're going to buy the new Westinghouse fridge. Like, it's people see through that. Yeah. It's just like, unless you genuinely are invested and want to help that person, you're actually going to do yourself more fucking damage trying to fabricate something because people will see through it.
Yeah. The how did this recent one come about? You guys are basically like going through couples counseling with this couple.
Yeah. So we're doing something at the moment called The Break, and it's a couple that have been together for over 3 years. Zach and Alicia resetting it up like I'm on air. Alicia thinks he loves her. She hopes so. And Zach has been caught on dating apps in the past.
Yeah.
How it came about is we were going, okay. And we'll always look at a balance. We'll be like, oh, we've done this fun stunt. Oh, we've now done this nice rescue. You know what? We haven't really hit relationships lately. Or sometimes it'll be singles, because especially because Lauren's in a relationship, I'm in a relationship, we'll be like, God, you forget single people. All right, let's actively think how we're going to tackle single people at the moment. And recently we're like, you know, okay, what do we want to do in relationships? Lou and I, my wife, have been together for 19 years, married for 10, but we had what we call my quarter life crisis, early 20s, where we broke up for over a year.
Wow, okay.
And we had a townhouse, so I had to buy her out of that. Living in Brisbane, she took the dog, she moved back to Sydney, totally separate. Both saw other people.
Wow.
And then about 14 months on, got back together.
How did that start?
It pretty much comes down to when I got out of school, all I gave a shit about was radio, and I didn't go out partying with my mates and just went straight into work experience. Moved to Sydney with Kyle when I was 19, lived with him. He never went out. So like my life was just work. She finished school and did her partying years. Then we come together early 20s, you know, by 24, she's ready to sort of, okay, let's settle down. I'm like, oh, fucking.
You're a party boy.
I haven't been 18. Like, I need to go out. And not like hook up with other people or anything. I just, I was ready just to, you know, I've worked hard for 5 years. Let's blow off some steam. And we were just sort of not at the same point in our lives.
Mm.
And we became more friends than partners.
Interesting.
Mm.
But how did it come back together? Who initiated that?
I eventually did because I wanted to get back to Sydney. I really wanted to get back to Sydney. So much so that I said I was going to leave the breakfast job in Brisbane. And they were like, why do you want to get back to Sydney? And I said, I just, you know, it feels busier down there. It's more creative. I want to work down there. So we made the agreement that I could do Mondays out of Sydney. So I would live in Brisbane Monday to Friday, finish the show Friday, go to the airport, fly down to Sydney. I had mates just get a 3-bedroom apartment. I went down to Fantastic Furniture and did the $900 set a room up. And so I'd fly in, live with them Saturday, Sunday, work out a 2-day on a Monday, do my radio show back to Brisbane, and then go to all the creative meetings in Sydney. So that way I was getting my hit.
Uh-huh.
And then fly back to Brisbane. And then because I was spending weekends in Sydney, I started to see her at parties and we got back together. But it was, I never fully committed to a relationship in that break because I think just in the back of my mind, I never wanted her thinking I'd officially moved on with someone.
Yeah, right.
We saw other people and everything. And then when we got back together, we sat down and had the very honest conversation of let's tell each other everyone we've each been with. Because
what was that like?
Oh, yeah, that was very fun. you know what? It was actually a lot better than what I thought. My thing was is I didn't want to get back together and then be at a party in a year's time and someone be like, oh, yeah, you know, Jace was with blah during that break.
Mm.
And then it's like, boom. It's like, I want to tell you what I've done. You tell me what you've done. And then it's up to both of us if we want to give this a go.
Mm.
And Lou was like, look, you know, during that year, you weren't the guy I knew. So, you know, you weren't yourself. So
interesting.
Mm.
It's pretty, like, I've known a lot of people to do that. They split and then they actually get back together.
But I get a lot, like, if I ever talk about it on the air, I get a lot of people message me about it and they're like, oh, you know, my partner and I want to do this break. And back to the couple we're doing it with on air at the moment, we moved her out of their home, put her up in an apartment. And I was saying to her, not even for the radio, for these guys, if you want to make this work, my biggest advice is you're not still in a relationship on a break. Because all you'll do is sit there and pause your life and wait till this breaks over and then get back together and be back at square one.
Mm.
I genuinely think the only way it worked for Lou and I is because we didn't go into it with it already in the back of our mind that we were going to get back together.
Yeah.
We were done. And I know that's very easy to say for us, but we weren't doing it to go, oh, we'll probably get back together because otherwise I would have just sat there for a year and not done anything, going, right, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be very intriguing to see what happens here with this couple.
Mm.
But it's like almost like you got into the reality TV business. That is
for a couple of weeks, then we'll move on to something else.
So, okay, let's talk about the new show. Let's talk about Lauren Phillips. So I was trying to actually find out the date, the first air date.
It was after the July break. And we started 2 weeks after everyone else, I think, because we were still getting everything together.
Gotcha.
When Lauren and I first started working together, it was in the peak of COVID.
Yep.
For the first 4 months working together, we couldn't even go to the pub and have a drink together.
Yep.
We socially never got the chance to just go and have a meal because everything was in lockdown.
Yeah.
It was so hard.
When did you feel like you had that first real deep conversation with her while you were working together?
I feel like with Lauren, it's probably happened gradually over time. There hasn't been a moment. Mm. We definitely warmed to each other straight away. This is awkward. I don't know why radio management do this, but so they were like, okay, PJ's leaving. No one knows.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard this story. Yeah.
The hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to secretly.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. We need to secretly get you and Lauren together. Oh, that was the other thing. I knew PJ was leaving at the end of the year before. No one else knew. Her and I had the conversation.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, no one else knew. Paige and I knew deep down she was going to leave. So they were like, hey, we're looking for people for this Christmas show. Could you suggest anyone? And then I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to tell anyone this, but this is a great opportunity to see if there's anyone out there to replace PJ.
Mm.
So we're going through it. And I always really liked Lauren's work. And I suggested Lauren to do the Christmas show. She went on there with Ryan John, nailed it. She was great. For me, I was sitting there listening going, is this a potential partner to work together in the future? So then when PJ announced she was leaving to the guys, they're like, okay, what should we do? And I'm like, well, I reckon Lauren, because we fucking demoed her a couple of weeks back. And the great thing is at that point, she didn't know she was demoing it for that job. So all care, no, you know.
And how many other people, like, did you meet with anyone else?
No.
Right.
No, I only did a demo with Lauren. She was the only one.
And...
So we did it in a hotel. Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, management were like, oh, you know, we're going to book a hotel room and we'll take a little mixing desk and it'll just be you, me, this is my boss, DB, and Lauren will come meet us at the hotel. And I'm like, so this girl who I've never met has been asked to come to a hotel where two blokes are going to be waiting for her upstairs and we're going to record some secret audio no one can know.
Wow.
Why can I feel like I'm going to be telling this to a judge in a few months? Like this is
what can I ask? What hotel?
It was the Park Hyatt.
Okay.
And I remember, like, I've set up little mixing desk and everything. We're in a small room. Like Lauren's going to be sitting on a bed, and then she rings and she's like, "I'm downstairs at DB." My boss is like, "Oh, I'll go get her." And I'm like, "Well, I'm fucking coming. There's no way I'm sitting in the room when you guys open the door and I'm sitting in this little hotel room waiting for her at the start."
Wow.
And we joke about it now because she's like, "Oh, I did ring my partner Paul on the way going, is this legit? Like, is this what happens?"
It is amazing though how radio stations and just even broadcast TV can be so secretive about that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So secretive.
Yeah. I remember when we moved to New Zealand, I think I did a sneaky trip over from Brisbane to meetings over there. We flew out of the Gold Coast. I'm like, oh, no one will know we're flying out of the Gold Coast. It's only 50 minutes down the road from Brisbane. We've really pulled the wool over everyone's eyes here.
So with Lauren, over time, what's like been the main thing that you've tried to impart on her? Because, you know, you come from a, let's call it the school of Kyle. Let's say, I think we discussed it last time in that you build the story significantly, you build characters into the show, and because of that, people really listen.
Yeah. I think Lauren's got a really strong media professionalism about her. She's grown up.
Broadcast TV background.
Yeah, totally grown up in the industry and totally gets that. Yeah. I think what I'm trying, the only thing I'm trying to teach Lauren, because she knows what she's doing, is this is the playground. This isn't like we don't have to present something here. This is, and this would be the biggest step for her. You know, she's not presenting something here. She's actually talking about her. She's talking about Lauren.
Yeah, it's breaking that facade of presenter news.
Where now what I'm talking about is life. About me.
Yeah.
It's my life, which is so hard. And I think at the start it wasn't fair to her because everyone's like, all right, tell that story about you and your partner fighting last night. She's like, what? They're like, you know, you've been in the industry. And she's like, yeah, but fuck, I haven't been going on TV talking about a fight with my partner. I was telling you the weather.
Learning that skill of vulnerability is hard.
Yeah, but you can't expect someone to do that overnight either. No. I think that's unfair.
Yeah, and particularly when you're in another broadcast environment where you're not rewarded for that anyway.
Yeah.
Like that would actually be deemed as a failure.
Yeah. It'd be like, well, guys, you got to Darwin, you said tops of 29 today and then told us a fight about your partner. Dale, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, don't.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Get to Adelaide. So, yeah, I think everyone just needed to chill out at the start and go, let's remember she's new to this.
Mm.
And I always sit there and go, when you take the pressure off, that's when people shine.
What's she taught you?
Nothing. No. She's a very generous person in regards to, like, when we first started working together, PJ's leaving. So my whole work world that I'd built for 5 years is now pulling apart. Everyone's leaving. My last show with PJ on that Friday was the same day my dad passed away.
Yeah.
And the same day that we knew our baby who we've got now was safe.
Right.
We were having a 12-week scan.
Okay.
And it was all that on that.
On the same day.
It was the Friday morning, PJ's last show. Finished the show. 9 o'clock, got a phone call from my sister saying, I think Dad's about to pass. We want to ring you on speaker so you could say goodbye. And
Jesus.
So I did the podcast. I left early and drove out of the radio station, pulled over on Lennox Street, rang Dad on speakerphone, hung up, met Lou at the ultrasound. Went into the ultrasound to find out the baby's going to be safe. Tell us the baby's safe. Walk out of the ultrasound place. Get a phone call from my sister saying my dad just passed.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's fine, man. That's a hard. That is a hard.
Oh, I had a scotch that night. there was also a warmth. I don't believe in all that stuff, but there was also a really nice feeling in knowing it's like, hey, baby's safe. Dad just passed.
Yeah.
And the same day we found out that dad's cancer treatment wasn't working was the same day we found out we were initially pregnant.
Really?
So it's sort of, there was a...
Are you not mystical, but do you...
I'm not, but I find a lot of closure and comfort in that.
Yeah, I can imagine a lot of people would. It's, yeah, I won't pretend to know what that's like.
So it was, yeah, it was a heavy time. And then, so yeah, and then that was when we're pulling together a new show. Excuse me. So that's why PJ finished, then we were going on a 2-week break, like every other radio show, and then we're supposed to start after that. But I was still dealing with my dad. I couldn't get to Brisbane for the funeral. I was watching on Zoom. So they pushed off the start date of the show to give me a bit more time.
Yeah, that was so unfair.
Which was also fair to Lauren, because like this poor girl's been given the, you know, dream of a lifetime. Here's the ultimate opportunity. By the way, your co-host is a mess. We're going to start 7 days. Jesus. You guys can't go to the pub and have a meal together because it's lockdown. Like, it was...
So you said then
she was so quite... generous during that time. Like, I just met this girl. And I remember before then, we were doing a mad dash to see dad in Brisbane. And because of the borders, we couldn't go straight to Brisbane. So we had to kill 2 weeks in Kingscliff, just out of Brisbane. Just out of Queensland. And like, I've just met Lauren. We've just started talking about working on the show together. She was like, I've got a house in Byron. You guys can use that. Go for it. Wow. It's there. Like, wow. You know, she's an extremely generous person when it comes to
that. Yeah, I don't think... She tries. It's very intriguing because I can be guilty of that too. But some people try and hide the fact that they are generous, almost. Like she's got that about her.
Yeah,
she tries to hide it in a way.
Yeah.
But there's things that you've said off the cuff that others have said, like the way that she gifts.
Mm.
She's a very like gift. Like her way of communicating love for someone is obviously like
or the just way doing things for them. Like I said, but I think it was the other day where. You know, brother and sister, we've got a great relationship like PJ and I had, or still have, where it's very brother and sister. And we'll give each other shit and we're fighting about something anyway. And this was around my anniversary. And I'm like, oh, Lou's cracking it at home because Archie's sick. She can't get to the shops to get me a present. Anyway, I left. Lauren was going to ring Lou and go, hey, I know you can't get to the shops. Do you want me to go and get you something for him, you know, that you can give him? And she went, no, fuck him. He doesn't need a present. But she was going to do that, you know, and she's only met Lou once, you know. Like, she's an extremely generous person in that regard.
Just on your dad, I got to say, that guy was probably one of the best featured guests ever.
Thank you, mate.
He was a character.
We had him on every week in New Zealand as well, and it'd be funny. We would be in a bar in the middle of, like, Dunedin. And it'd be piss people, and they'd be like, bring your dad out next time. And I remember just thinking, fuck, this is cool. Like, I'm doing my dream job, and I get to have my dad be a part of it.
But it's cool that your dad got it.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he loved it, and it was great. I remember we stitched dad up once when we were in New Zealand. Like, they loved him, and him and mum were coming over to visit, and I'm like, dad, you're huge here. And he's like, what are you fucking talking about? And I'm like you're massive here. And I said, the paper want to do a big article on you. And we're in the same building as the New Zealand Herald. So we had it all stitched up with the photographer. So they brought him in. A fake reporter does like an hour interview with him. And dad's, oh, yeah, you know, I think I bring a lot to radio. And, and then they're like, oh, we'll do the photo shoot now. And they draped him in a flag. And they were like, hey, do you reckon you can get your shirt off? And he's like, what is this? Just a stitch up? And I'm like, no. And they're like, no, we just want to show a true Aussie bloke. And he's like, all right. So he's got his fucking shirt off with a flag draped around him holding a kangaroo.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, it's going to be in the paper. And then we had to tell him, no, it's a total piss
take. Do you think you're more like your dad or your mum?
Dad's sense of humour, mum's stubbornness.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I've definitely got dad's stubbornness and mum's like quick wit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing though over time how much you see you are of your parents.
Oh yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
You are mirrors.
Yeah, like I'll say something and then I'll be like, "Oh my god, that's so my dad."
Yeah,
you know.
Do you have that with your kids? Like, have you seen things in them?
Yeah, I just 100%. Especially like my boys, my two oldest are completely different. Like Felix is a very emotional 8-year-old, very caring, very smart. And I'll see different things in me and him, and then I'll see Huddy, mini me, who's 6, who is just cheeky, really, really cheeky.
Yeah. And he looks like you.
Yeah, he does. He came into work yesterday and everyone's like, it's like a mini version.
it's probably the hair color.
Yeah.
Because
he's a
Felix,
little nugget. He's just, yeah.
He looks exactly, but Felix is clearly like a mix of the two of you.
Yeah.
Isn't 100%. That fascinating with kids, like the way that they come out and the how they either look one, like exactly like one parent, or they're a pure mix, or they look nothing like that.
I know, it's crazy.
It's fascinating. Utterly fascinating.
It looks like I didn't get a look in with Hudson. I hope Archie has a little bit of me in him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's always, you can't really pick it up at 4 months, can you? They're just like a...
No.
They're just a blob eating milk.
I remember when we had Felix and they took him to the nursery. This is at Greenslopes in Brisbane. And I walked up to the class and I'm like, oh, look at him. This is so good. And the nurse had to be like, this is the one on the left. And I'm like, that's him. And she's like, no, that's not. And I'm like, I swear to you. She's like, I'm the fucking nurse. I'm reading the labels. You're waving at the wrong kid.
Jesus. Do you think you'll have any more kids?
Nah, we're done now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
Are you guys like tube tied done or getting the snip done?
Yeah, I'll get the snip. I think there was the third night Archie was at home. I almost did it with a pair of scissors to myself because he wasn't sleeping. We went through this big debate because Lou really always wanted a third. And at the start of lockdown, I was like, I just feel like we're getting on top of things with the two kids. And we had really serious conversations about it. And I said, look, and she goes, would you talk to a therapist? I'd never done really therapy or anything.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'll give it a go. Because I thought at least that way, I can show her I've explored all options if I still come to the conclusion that I don't want any more kids. But, you know, she deserves at least I look at every option before I finally make that decision. Mm. So I just, you know, I spoke to her about, okay, I'll see a therapist. And, she booked me a therapy. And it was the first time I was going there. I was like, it's like the movies. And also I couldn't imagine me walking into a room and just going, blah, here's all my insecurities to a person I've just met. The whole therapy thing really intrigues me.
Yeah.
Met this guy, walked in the room. He's like, look, just so you know, if I see you down the street, I won't say hi to you. So that way you're never in an awkward spot where you have to say I'm your therapist. And I'm like, that's fine. Look, to be honest, as you can see, I work on radio. I'm probably going to talk about this because for some reason when I'm on air, it's my safe space out, and I just don't care where I'd feel more awkward having a conversation with you about it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay, you know, tell me about your life. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is where I tell you everything. Now, let's just think. At this point, I could have had three other girls on the go and a heroin addiction. Thank God I didn't, because I'm like, oh, there's nothing big to report. You know, yeah, I've partied a bit in the past, done a bit of this. And then 20 minutes in, he looks at me and goes, that's how I know you. Your kids go to school together.
Oh, no. Yeah, I remember you've spoken about this. You've had two different therapists.
I fucking died.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, I could have said some really bad shit before that time. And thank God I didn't have any of that bad stuff going on. And then he's like, do you want to continue? And because I'm that awkward person, I'm like, yeah, of course. I got no dramas with it. Let's go. And then he was talking to me about meditation. And for the next 20 minutes, I was just sitting there going, what did you say? What did you say?
So you saw that guy and then you went and saw another therapist.
Yeah, right? I saw another therapist on Zoom and I'm not that person that can connect. I want to be in the room with someone.
Because I've had this discussion with Jason, with Lauren about you. And we're like, our personalities are quite similar and that we're just, you at the end of the day, you're a big, lovable goofball, but you don't, you're like, you know, you love ice cream and you love giving people compliments, but I get a feeling that you can't take a compliment. Like you struggled to take a compliment.
At times I can feel uncomfortable about it or I try and move the conversation.
Because you move the conversation. I can tell in the podcast that, you know, that's just not your thing.
But I also don't want it feeling like it falls on deaf ears. Like you saying before about the podcast got you through lockdown, like you don't know what comments like that mean to me. Like that's why I do the show. That's like, I love that. That's so awesome. You know, Paige and I were always big on that. And it's what I'm trying to teach Lauren at the moment about like these listeners, like we've got this unofficial page. And she'll be like, you're fucking Jace fans. And I'm like, no, they're your army.
Yeah.
If I was in trouble tomorrow and I needed fucking 30 grand for surgery, God love them. I would hope I could go, can everyone throw me a dollar? That'll probably go, you're right. You're not getting it.
Yeah.
You're doing all right. But I love having that community of people who just loved the show,
yeah,
and would do anything for it and felt a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, yeah, when you made that comment before, it doesn't fall on deaf ears. Like,
yeah, but you are definitely like a big, lovable guy. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
And it's hearing you go through the whole therapy thing, I was like, this is me in a way. So I'm just surprised.
Do you feel more comfortable when you're recording this to say personal stuff about yourself?
I'm a pretty open book. Yeah, like, right. I don't hold a lot back. I got used to going and seeing a psych and basically telling him everything. But I'm similar to you. Like, I was just like, what's the limit here?
Yeah.
Where's the line?
Well, how quick do we rush into it? I've just sat down with Jordan. Okay, I'm paying you $100 for the hour. I've got an eating disorder. I'm cheating on my wife and, you know, I've got a drug problem.
Hmm.
Like, do I tell you that so soon? I feel like I need to build the relationship and the trust with that person.
Yeah.
But then the other half of me is going, you'd love me to take my time building it as well, because it's $100 a fucking hour. But at the end of the day, it's your business. Mm. You know, like, it just intrigues me, the whole therapy thing.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. I do feel very relaxed here just talking about it with anyone
It's so weird. And, you know, this is probably every now and then is when my partner and I'll have a clash, because Lou will be like, I can't believe you spoke about that on the air. And it's weird, because for me, I wouldn't have even thought twice.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'll be more awkward with is if I talk about something really personal on the air and then I'll see you in the street a day later and you'll be like, hey, mate, heard you talking about how you were depressed. And hey, like, I would feel so much more awkward in that conversation than me crying my heart out about it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that just goes back to the vulnerability element of the medium and this style of content.
And I think just feeling comfortable. Like, I guess it's a compliment to Lauren and Paige that I've felt so comfortable in that situation that I can talk to them about it.
So what do you want? You and Lauren, have you had discussions around what you want for this show over the coming years? What is it that you want?
I think we're now moving into that. I think at the start it was just, let's just get the show. Like, I think it takes 6 months to a year to really work out what we want the show to be.
Mm.
And what the show is now compared to what we sat down with a whiteboard 4 months ago or 6 months ago is vastly different.
Mm.
And especially coming up to, like, you know, we'll have a 2 week break in July and that'll be the point we'll sit there and go, okay, we've done about 8 months of shows now. What's the sort of shows we like doing? Because that's the area we need to play.
Okay. And if you could quantify it in like a word, do you know what it is yet?
No.
Have you been able to do it?
Not yet.
Interesting.
Where it's like with Paige and I look back and I go, adventure. It was two mates going on adventures, whether we were making a sausage, doing a marathon, driving a sizzler. That's where we played adventure.
Yeah. Like, there's a distinct difference between the shows. There's no doubt about that. I think that comes down to the personality of both women. I think the way I'm starting to see it now with the type of content you guys are doing is that generousness that maybe Lauren tries to mask sometimes is actually coming out in the type of content you do. Like, I think particularly the couples thing recently was like illuminating. I'm like, I don't know if you'd agree, but I can't see. Could you have seen you and PJ doing that? I'm not sure.
No, but it's a different show.
Yeah.
I think we did a disservice at the start because we were trying to put Lauren into a Jason PJ show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you've done it for 5 years. Of course that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why, in a way, all the team changing was the best thing that could have happened for the new show.
Yeah.
To give the new show a chance, it was the best thing that could have happened.
It's got its own personality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely true.
But it's a different show. And the minute I mentally made that change was the minute I enjoyed it so much more.
Mm.
When I wasn't trying to, fucking let's not lose what we had. I had to go, okay, that was fun. That was great. Close our chapter. Now we're doing this.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to see what the next year looks like. I think, you've got an amazing roster of people. I think like people like Clint Stanaway, just unreal.
Yeah. And I think Clint's just like
the MVP himself.
Clint, I was like,
he's going to have won that award the most, right?
Clint's great. And I was like, is Clint going to be an up himself bloody private school wanker? We've got nothing in common. He loves his sport and everything like that. But him and I have hit it off great. And I love when Clint will challenge me on stuff. And then Lauren and Clint are best mates and have known each other for years. So I think Clint being there gives her a lot more courage to be herself. Yeah. And there's definitely a comfort for her having Clint there.
Yeah, yeah. Less, there's familiarity of having
absolutely. Him. Yeah. But yeah, no, and I think Clint's just really enjoying it because after doing news and everything for so long, what I'm trying to teach Lauren where it's like, this is your playground, doll. Just be you. Just be Lauren. Clint's like, this is great.
Yeah,
he's just like, this is awesome. I don't have to be an uptight news person at the moment. That, I can talk about going out till 4:30 in the morning.
That soundbite of him saying, hi, Clint, I mean, Felicia, yeah. It just quantifies like his personality. And like when you see,
I'm in news. Oh my God, this is a playground.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show's been a playground for him. You can see it.
But you can tell him in broadcast, he's always kind of wanted it. Like, it's always been there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's and it's awesome because I look at him and I'm like, oh, my God, Clint, you're me. You're 39. You haven't grown up. You're Peter Pan like me.
He is a bit of a Peter Pan. He's got that Peter Pan-ness about him. You know when you fucking blank on a question?
Yeah, you're right.
I want to come to some rapid-fire questions to finish things off.
Yep.
But of all these changes in the last year or so, what do you think hasn't changed at all in the way that you approach what you do?
I still give a shit.
Okay.
It's a different show. We're doing different content, but I still put in just as much and care just as much as I did with the old show.
Yeah.
I completely care about any content that I'm attached to. I definitely went through a phase where I was like, I'm fighting it. When now it's like, nah. If I'm attached to it, I give a shit.
Yeah.
And it's got to be good.
And also just going back to what happened in the middle of that year during COVID, to have your father pass away, to have-
Yeah, I'm still dealing with, like even the other night, I just hit Google and I'm like, when does grief go? And Lou's like, babe, you haven't sort of really even dealt with that yet. Because we haven't had a proper funeral for dad. All I did was watch it on Zoom.
But I don't think it really does it?
No, that's a problem. That's why I shut the laptop. I was like, what a shit website this clicked me through to. This isn't what I was hoping. I think what will help is eventually we're going to scatter his ashes in Brisbane and we'll do it with all the family there in the summer months. And it'll be more of a celebration. I think I just need that. Because I was saying to my sisters the other day, like, they did the funeral. Excuse me. I'm watching at home and then it was like, oh, cool. The curtain shuts over the coffin and I just shut the laptop. Like, and then I was sitting there at Tuesday afternoon, 2:00 and it's like, right, what now?
Yeah, it's that's one thing that COVID has been wild for is funerals. There was a guy in my year level that passed away recently and no one really found out until like really late and it was bizarre. I can't.
You know what it made me realize?
I watched it over Zoom.
Yeah. It made me realize
it's not right.
How it isn't right. And even what's worse is Brisbane went into a lockdown the day before my dad's funeral. So mum had to ring everyone and say, you can't come. We can only have 9 people at the funeral. So my sister's husbands couldn't be so there. It could only be my sisters and their kids. And no one could sit next to mum and cuddle her because everyone had to be a meter and a half apart. It was the most.
It's inhumane.
It was. But it made me realize how important a wake is.
Yeah.
And what I mean is like in the past, you'd be like, oh, let's just go and hit the pub and have a laugh and, you know, get on the piss. But I realize that's the moment where you get to break down what happened.
Yeah. That's like where you said you process that grief.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do it with other people. And sometimes it's at a pub and you're having drinks and stuff. But it just made me realize how important that event is after a funeral.
There must be something innately human about that. Like you got to think about it in the caveman days, you know, when we're just roaming. Hunting, gathering, and all that sort of stuff. There's a passing, and the group, the village, sits around and they tell stories by a campfire. Yeah. It's gonna be
the same thing. And I look at some of the funerals I've been to in the past, and I'm like, oh yeah, you go, all right, let's go to the pub. Like, should we skip this? It's actually so important.
Yeah, because watching that funeral on Zoom, seeing how little people there were there because of the lack of notice and because of all this, the way that it's being done now. It's not just me. There's guys in my year who just, they can't process that this guy is gone.
I've got that element with my dad because I haven't, like I was just up recently in Brisbane visiting mum and I was at my sister's and we were having that conversation. And I said, for you guys, I'm not saying it's easier, but you've had that moment where you guys all went back to mum's afterwards and, you know, had a scotch and a cup of tea and told some stories. I shut the laptop and Lou and I sat out the back. you know, and just you, it's so weird. It's, you don't realize it until you haven't been able to go have that experience of how important it is, you know.
I 100% agree on that. Yeah. I think I was very lucky to have the most important wake for me recently was my grandmother's. It was just before COVID. I was just thinking we were so fucking lucky to have it then.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, no.
And equally, a wedding can be just as shit on Zoom. Producer Alex got married. We couldn't go over because of, so we had Tona Roddy and her partner around and we're all sitting there. My place, Tuesday afternoon, it's 1:30. We're drinking champagne. I'm wearing a suit jacket because Tony's like, we've got to dress up now. And we've got the live stream of his wedding up in New Zealand and we're eating barbecue chicken from Nando's and champagne. And then they kiss, they walk down the aisle. No one ever live streams the reception.
Yeah.
So it just goes to black and we're all sitting there going, well, what the fuck do we do now? Everyone's over there partying and we're all sitting there going, oh, all right.
Do you know, I had that recently. We had a friend's wedding that was cancelled 4 times.
Oh.
And then the sister who was, I don't know if she was a maid of honor or, but she was heavily involved. And yeah, she got COVID the night before.
Oh.
But they live stream the whole thing on FaceTime and they were just walking around with the phone the whole time. So it was, I kind of like that. I kind of respected that.
Yeah, that's cool. I feel for anyone I had to put off like weddings and stuff through that time.
Brutal.
Yeah. Sure, there was a couple of people that were like, oh, now that I've had time to think about it.
Oh. You definitely saved a lot of money. Oh,
100%.
Sure. All right, Jace, what's in the fridge at home at the moment?
Some gelato from the new gelato shop in Blackrock, which is very good, that Huddy and I ordered yesterday when Mum was out. Okay.
Have you moved to Blackrock?
No, we're in Hampton East, just up the road.
You're in the rough side of Bluff.
Rough side of Bluff Road, man of the people. What else? Frozen meals, like light and easies and stuff like that. Just because with a 4-month-old in the house, it's just easier having that stuff there.
Okay.
Best thing people did when we had a baby were dropping around
ready-made
food.
Meals.
Oh. Or like Pam would drop, oh, lasagna's on your front door. Oh, it was a lifesaver.
So we, with us moving, I've been going to Pram Market and there's a lot of like deli shops that do like ready-made meals. It's so fucking good. I love it. Don't know what
my ready-made meals are a little bit cheaper than the ones at Pran Markets. Pran Markets must
Pran
be
Market's
nice.
Pran Markets actually really affordable. It is very affordable. I know you used to give PJ shit about that. All right, what have you been? What's like been something that you've watched in the last 3 months that you've got to recommend to the audience?
Below Deck.
Okay. Not something that you've watched all the time, but like Below Deck or reality.
Did you watch We Crashed?
No, but I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, so on Apple TV, it's about the guy that started WeWork, the co-working space, built it up to be a $1 billion empire and then shat the bed.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it was built on lies and stuff like that.
It was just a real estate business.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. It. You know what? Could have gone 2 eps less than what it did, but it's pretty good. And I got into Hacked. Did you watch Hacked on Stan? It's about a washed up comedian who used to headline shows in Vegas and she's sort of going back to her grassroots. It was really good. They've just started season 2.
Okay. I've been watching Severance on Apple TV Plus.
I've been recommended that.
It's
I haven't watched it. What's it about?
Good. Okay. So the concept, the headline is these people work at a pharmaceutical company and part of their job is that they get a chip implanted in their head.
Yeah.
And when they go to this level, they can't remember what happens at work and the people at work can't remember what happens at home. So they start to develop these personas that are them at work, which are very different to them at home. And they call them innies and outies. It's fascinating.
It's pretty heavy at the end of the day. Very, sit down.
No, but it is like, okay, I got to say.
It's a bit heavier than Schitt's Creek. It's it's not as light entertainment.
I struggle with that sort of stuff, like Selling Sunset and all that, but I can watch Maths.
Oh, see, I didn't get into this season of Mass.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the first 2 episodes full on, but it is a brilliant TV show.
All right. I'll give it a go.
Jace, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Jace_Hawkins on Instagram. Lauren got up me the other day and I've only just removed the Jason PJ link on that. So that is gone. but yeah, Jace_Hawkins on Insta is probably the spot. And weekdays, 6 till 9 on Kiss 101.1 in Melbourne.
Will we ever see you again on TikTok?
You know what? It's been a year. I'm probably due to post a video. That'll make it video number 3.
Yeah.
I'm really investing in my TikTok.
I really want to see you doing a trend again. It's what I live for.
A what? A TikTok?
A TikTok trend. Actually, you know what? I'd love to see you doing the Sprite challenge. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, where they drink it and
then they burp.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost got Lauren across the line on a marathon-ish thing the other day. We're talking about Lego. I went to the Lego store opening the other day. I took the boys. The boys couldn't give a shit about what I do for a living, but the fact that I know Brickman from Lego Masters just makes me God.
So hang on, how have you convinced?
So when Lego came back on TV, I was like, oh, I saw them advertised. There's a Lego set. It's the biggest Lego set you can buy, and it's the Titanic. It's $1,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I thought, what about if Clint, Lauren, and I locked ourselves in a room?
And you wouldn't be allowed
We're
to
not
let
allowed
out
until
you do it.
Till we finished it.
How long would it take you?
Well, Brickman reckons a couple of Lego pros would do it in like 2 days.
Oh, my God.
But that's high-end, full professional. So I reckon we'd be in there for the week.
Jesus fucking Christ. Why would she accept that?
She
didn't.
That's why we didn't do it.
Jesus.
I think she politely said, how'd she put it? Fuck off. That's right, yeah.
Was this on the pod?
No, I was secretly trying to organize it in the background, and then it just came up at the Lego store opening.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, Brickman, I'm trying to lock her in a room and do the Titanic one. She's like, what? And I'm like, oh, nothing.
Yes. Jason, thank you for coming in.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You just reminded me, I've got to go buy some Aaron Williams. I don't own any, and everyone's telling me I need some for winter.
They're good. They're very good. You just make sure you get them fitted right.
That's what someone said, because I was going to buy them from the Iconic. They were doing like 25% off. And everyone's like, no, you need to go and get fitted. Get your sizing if you got like a fat sole or whatever. And when you know your sizing, you can...
Yeah, get it fitted properly. I think that's the way to go.
Thanks very much for having me, mate.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you liked it, do subscribe. And of course, like it on YouTube if you're watching as well. We'd really appreciate that. For audio, if you've not already listening on your podcast app, you can search for it on any good app, including Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. For video, if you're not watching, you can search Uncommon Podcast on YouTube. It's the first one that appears every single time. For behind the scenes, do follow us on Instagram and TikTok. It's @uncommon_show. But until next time, thanks for tuning in.